The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all.
And also with you.
Let us pray. Blessed Lord God, you have caused the Holy Scriptures to be written for the nourishment of your people. Grant that we may hear them, read, mark, learn, and inwardly digest them, that comforted by your promises, we may embrace and forever hold fast to the hope of eternal life. Through your Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord.
Amen.
You may be seated. I'm going to switch places with Penny and ask you children to come down here so I can see you. Slip over here. Slip over here a little bit. Jack, come on in here so I can see you. All right. So I'm going to tell you a little story, and I want you to answer the question at the end. Okay. So, Penny, why don't you go right here? Or Madeline, go right here.
You called me Penny.
I know. I made a mistake. I want you right there, Madeline. Yeah. So here's the story, and I want to ask you the question. You come walking into the house. You walk into your house, and your mom is in your bedroom, and on your bed, there's a suitcase open. And she's taking things out of your drawer and putting them in the suitcase. What do you think? What do you think?
You're going on vacation.
You might be going on vacation. What else could you think?
We're going on a trip.
You're going on a trip. You're going to go someplace.
Moving.
Or maybe you're moving, but she'd be packing up more than a suitcase if you're moving, right? What do you think?
Going to
where? Where might you go, Jack?
Grandma and
Pop-Pop's house. Oh, Grandma and Pop-Pop's house. Yeah, that would be fun. So when you see that happening, you think, uh-oh, something's up. Something's going to happen. Okay, now I'll tell you another little story. You come into the house and you smell, oh, roasting chicken. And you go into the kitchen and you see your dad in the kitchen peeling up potatoes, a big pot of them. And you go, something's up. What do you think?
He's making
potatoes, but he's got a lot of them. So what does that make you think?
He's making dinner.
He's making dinner, but just for you?
No, for a party.
For a whole party. No, so we think, uh-oh, something's up. Something's up. Or it could be Thanksgiving, that we're going to have more people come to our house because there's more food. So we get clues. And a clue helps us to figure out the answer. And sometimes a clue can tell us what's going to happen next. So an open suitcase, packing with clothes, we can think about what's going to happen next. And that's a vacation or a trip or something. Because something's up. Well, God says to us, to you, something's up. Something's going to happen. God put the Spirit inside you, in your heart, filled you with God's power and love, and then said, here's the clue. This child is going to share that love. Something's up. God's going to do something with you. God's going to use you in a special way to share that love and that power of the Spirit that you have inside you. I wonder what it's going to be. I wonder how God's going to use you. Oh, wait, God's already using you. How is God using you to share God's love and power? How is God using you, Cora?
By being the oldest sister and taking care of my
Yes, your siblings. You know, that is a good answer, Cora, because God gives you extra patience. to be the oldest sister. I'm the oldest sister in my family, too. And I have really weird siblings.
I'm the youngest.
You're the youngest. So you have extra, God gives you extra love and power responsibilities because you have to put up with older sisters. Yeah. Sometimes God gives us what we need right at the minute, so we don't even know we have God's extra power or extra love. But know this, never forget that you have God's love and God's power in you. And God wants you to share that with others. So you can go back to your places. You can go back to your places.
A reading from Nehemiah. All the people of Israel gathered together into the square before the water gate. They told the scribe Ezra to bring the book of the law of Moses, which the Lord had given to Israel. Accordingly, the priest Ezra brought the law before the assembly, both men and women, and all who could hear with understanding. This was on the first day of the seventh month. He read from it facing the square before the water gate, from early morning until midday, in the presence of the men and women and those who could understand, and the ears of all the people who were attentive to the book of the law. And Ezra opened the book in the sight of all the people, for he was standing above all the people. And when he opened it, all the people stood up. Then Ezra blessed the Lord, the great God, and all the people answered, "Amen, amen," lifting up their hands. Then they bowed their heads and worshiped the Lord with their faces to the ground. So they read from the book, from the law of God, with interpretation. They gave the sense so that the people understood the reading. And Nehemiah, who was the governor, and Ezra, the priest and scribe, and the Levites, who taught the people, said to all the people, "This day is holy to the Lord your God. Do not mourn or weep." For all the people wept when they heard the words of the law. Then he said to them, "Go your way, eat the fat, and drink sweet wine, and send portions of them to those for whom nothing is prepared. For this day is holy to our Lord. Do not be grieved, for the joy of the Lord is your strength." Word of the Lord, word of God, word of life.
Thanks be to God.
Let us pray Psalm 19 responsively. The heavens declare the glory of God, and the sky proclaims its maker handiwork.
One day tells its tale to another, and one night imparts knowledge to another.
Although they have no words or language, and their voices are not heard, their sound has gone
out into all lands,
and their message to the ends of the world. For God has pitched a tent for the sun. It comes forth like a bridegroom out of his chamber. It rejoices like a champion to run its course.
It goes forth from the utmost edge of the heavens and runs about the end of it again. Nothing is hidden from its burning heat.
The teaching of the Lord is perfect and revives the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure and gives wisdom to the simple.
The statutes of the Lord are just and rejoice the heart. The commandments of the Lord are clear and
give life to us. The fear of the Lord is clean and endures forever. The judgments of the Lord are true and righteous altogether.
More than fine gold, more than fine gold, dearer than
honey in the comb. By them also is your servant enlightened, and in keeping them there is great reward.
Who can detect one's own offenses? Cleanse me and not see your faults.
Above all, keep your servant from presumptuous sins. Let them not get dominion over me. Then shall I be whole and sound and innocent of a great offense.
Let the words of my mouth
Glory to the Father, and the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen. Second reading, 1 Corinthians. For just as the body is one and has many members, and all the members of the body, though many, are one body, so it is with Christ. For in one Spirit we are all baptized into one body, Jews or Greeks, slaves or free, and we are all made to drink of one Spirit. Indeed, the body does not consist of one member, but of many. If the foot would say, because I am not a hand, I do not belong to the body, that would not make it any less a part of the body. And if the ear would say, because I am not an eye, I do not belong to the body, that would not make it any less a part of the body. If the whole body were an eye, where would the hearing be? If the whole body were hearing, where would the sense of smell be? But as it is, God arranged the members in the body, each one of them as he chose. If all were a single member, where would the body be? As it is, there are many members, yet one body. The eye cannot say to the hand, I have no need of you, nor can the head to the feet, I have no need of you. On the contrary, the members of the body that seem to be weaker are indispensable. And those members of the body that we think less honorable, we clothe with greater honor. And our less respectable members are treated with greater respect. Whereas our more respectable members do not need this, but God has so arranged the body, giving the greater honor to the inferior member, that there may be no dissension within the body, but the members may have the same care for one another. If one member suffers, all suffer together with it. If one member is honored, all rejoice together with it. Now you are the body of Christ and individually members of it. And God has appointed in the church first apostles, second prophets, third teachers, then deeds of power, then gifts of healing, forms of assistance, forms of leadership, various kinds of tongues. All are apostles? Are all prophets? Are all teachers? Do all work miracles? Do all possess gifts of healing? Do all speak in tongues? Do all interpret? But strive for the greater gifts. Word of God, word of life.
The Holy Gospel according to Luke.
Glory to you, Lord.
Then Jesus, filled with the power of the Spirit, returned to Galilee, and a report about him spread through all the surrounding country. He began to teach in their synagogues and was praised by everyone. When he came to Nazareth, where he had been brought up, he went to the synagogue on the Sabbath day, as was his custom. He stood up to read, and the scroll of the prophet Isaiah was given to him. He unrolled the scroll and found the place where it was written, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he has anointed me to bring good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim release to the captives and recovery of sight to the blind, to let the oppressor go free, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor." And he rolled up the scroll, gave it back to the attendant, and sat down. The eyes of all in the synagogue were fixed on him. Then he began to say to them, "Today, this scripture has been fulfilled in your hearing." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Christ.
Well, it was just a few weeks ago that Governor Newsom put his hand on the Bible and took the oath of office and then gave his inaugural address. The eyes of all were upon him. Well, at least the ears of the people in the state of California. The state listened carefully to his words as he was setting the tone and casting a vision for his mission as governor in the coming years. Well, the gospel that we hear this morning is a report of Jesus' inaugural address. When he was just getting started in his ministry, he went back to his hometown of Nazareth, where the people had watched him grow up. He'd already gotten a little bit of a reputation, and everyone who heard him speak thought he was pretty amazing. Well, so far in Luke's gospel, Jesus hasn't healed anybody. He hasn't multiplied the loaves and the fishes. He hasn't cast out any demons. So far, he has only taught in the synagogues. And yet, news of his teaching has reached back to his hometown. People were pretty impressed with this young man, Jesus. He was a regular attender at worship, and they were looking forward to his commentary on the scripture text that would take place on this Sabbath morning. The prophet Isaiah wrote that the Spirit of the Lord filling him with such an urging, such a power, that he could do nothing else. Isaiah wrote he had to bring good news to everyone who was bound up, held down, broken in spirit. He had to reach out to every person in poverty, in prison, in need of the Lord. He had to tell of God's love for every one of God's children who so desperately needed to have a year of the favor of the Lord. And here was Jesus at the beginning of his ministry, making his inaugural address to his hometown congregation, and he selects that passage from Isaiah. Or maybe it was just God's divine coincidence that that was the appointed reading for that particular Sabbath day. The scroll of the prophet Isaiah was given to Jesus, and all the eyes in the synagogue were fixed on him. They all wanted to hear, what is he going to say? They wanted to know his plans, his vision, his mission statement. What would it be? Jesus initiated his public ministry with the simple pronouncement that what was going to matter to him was the power of the Holy Spirit working in him. When Jesus was baptized, the Holy Spirit descended upon him and filled him with the Spirit. And it is clear that Jesus was deeply living the life of the Spirit and intended to make that his path, his life. And this is what Jesus said the life of the Spirit would look like. This is what he said he would be doing. This was Jesus' mission statement. He would be centered and focused on the good news for the poor. Release to the captives. Sight for the blind. Freedom for the oppressed. His whole ministry would be measured against that mission statement. This not only tells us who Jesus is, but it tells us who we are to be as the body of Christ in the world today. This isn't only Jesus' mission statement, not just his vision and goals. They're our goals, our vision, our mission statement as well. Not only did Jesus link his goals and dreams to the words of the prophet Isaiah, He claimed those words as his own. And in our baptism, we too are filled with the Spirit, and we can claim this power of the Spirit as our own. Jesus does the unexpected on that Sabbath morning in Nazareth. He claims those ancient prophetic words from Isaiah to be his own personal mission statement. The reason God's Spirit came crashing down on him at baptism was to empower him to do precisely this: bring good news to the poor, release to the captives, recovery of sight to the blind, to let all the oppressed go free, to announce the Jubilee year when God's justice reshapes society. Jesus takes all this as his mission statement, but he's not content to leave it only as a string of nice words. Everything that follows in his life amounts to living out that prophecy that he claimed for himself on that Sabbath morning in Nazareth. He keeps doing these things every chance he gets, every time he turns around, and he continues today to do that through us, to do what he talked about that Sabbath morning in Nazareth so long ago. Today, Jesus says, today this scripture has been fulfilled in your hearing. There's not very many times that I am just thankful that I learned Greek in seminary. But when I got to that one sentence, I looked in the Greek. I will confess to seminary classmates here, I will confess I do not read the gospel in Greek every single Sunday in preparation of my sermon. But occasionally I'll come upon a word and I go, I think that needs to be translated differently, or I need to look at this a little different. So I looked up this. Today, this scripture has been fulfilled. That tense, what does that mean? It's not past tense. It's not present tense that it's happening right now. It's perfect tense. That's my favorite Greek tense. I love that perfect tense. It's happened, it is happening, and it will continue to happen with long ramifications. And that's what Jesus says. Today, this scripture has been fulfilled in your hearing. It didn't just happen a couple thousand years ago in Nazareth. That's not the today. The today is ongoing. So what does that mean for us? That is continuing to happen in the future. Today, the way Jesus works is through the church, through us, the body of Christ, through each of us and all of us who are baptized into his body. Jesus still lives out that mission statement, still bringing the good news to those who don't have any, setting free those who are chained in captivity, opening blind eyes, helping the oppressed and the exploited to find a life, removing barriers that would limit God's reign of justice and peace. God still is at work. Jesus still does these things because we, the church, do them. The poor gain hope, whether it's in their souls or their bodies that are starved. The captives experience freedom, whether they are prisoners in a jail or prisoners of depression and anxiety in their own minds. The blind receive sight, whether it's eye surgery at the hands of a gifted surgeon, or it's the scales of prejudice falling off the eyes of a bigot. The oppressed are set free, whether oppression is a political regime or an addiction or mental illness. When Jesus read this passage in the synagogue in Nazareth, he cast a vision and a mission statement, not only for himself, but for us, for the body of Christ, the church. Today's reading from Paul's letter to the Corinthians has another important word for us about how the body of Christ, the church, is to live out that mission statement of Jesus. As we try to keep faithful to those words of Jesus lived, the words that Jesus lived, we pay attention to 3 points that Paul made in that letter to the Corinthians that Anne read for us. Point one, all members of the church have gifts for ministry. Point two, the members of the church have different gifts for ministry. We don't all have the same gifts. We don't all use our gifts in the same way. And point three, all of those different gifts are needed to make the church whole. Your gifts are needed for the church to be God's work, God's hands, God's love, God's power in the world today. This is our mission statement. This is the vision for the baptized, the Spirit-filled, gifts for ministry. Gifted we are, the people of God. We are the church in this place, and this is our action plan. Now, I know I've told you that I have a daily ritual of signing a cross on my forehead as I get up in the morning to remind myself that I am a baptized child of God. Well, my dad had a ritual too. Well, he spent most of his life caught in the web of addiction, but he had almost 9 years of sobriety before he died at the young age of 61. And he really worked his program in those 9 years. He worked very hard, and he knew that he needed to give back to other people who were caught in addiction, and to give back to his family, to give back to society. His morning ritual, his morning prayer, was quite simple. He told me this. He said, when I open my eyes, I say my first prayer. Lee, reporting for duty. His name was Lee, so he's talking to God. This is Lee, reporting for duty. Who needs to hear your word today? That set his mission for the day. Oh, and he was out to get anybody that he thought needed to go to treatment. Let me tell you, there were people that would turn and run when they saw my dad come in, especially clergy. He was really after the priests. Well, we don't have to put our hand on a Bible to take an oath or unroll a scroll of Isaiah to proclaim our willingness to share in God's mission. We can simply remember our baptism and open our hearts to the Spirit working within us. Are you ready to report for duty? Put your hand on your heart and repeat after me. I am a beloved child of God, a member of the body of Christ. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me. The Spirit of the Lord has anointed me to bring good news to the poor. The Spirit of the Lord has sent me to release, The Spirit of the Lord has sent me to proclaim release to the captives. The The Spirit of the Lord has sent me to help the blind recover their sight.
The Spirit of the Lord has sent me to help the blind recover their sight.
The Spirit of the Lord has sent me to free the oppressed. The Spirit of the Lord has sent me to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor.
The Spirit of the Lord has sent me to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor.
I am a beloved child of God. Today, this scripture has been fulfilled in your hearing. Amen.